This is Viewpoint with attorney and author Chuck Crismeyer. Viewpoint is a one-hour talk show confronting the issues of America's heart and home. And now with today's edition of Viewpoint, here is Chuck Crismeyer.
Oh, what a day it is today. Putin advisor calls for nuclear escalation and cites a rain of fire on Sodom and Gomorrah. A rain of fire on Sodom and Gomorrah. At the same time, another article has come out declaring we're running to Gomorrah, not sliding toward Gomorrah, not slouching toward Gomorrah, but actually running toward Gomorrah. Wow. How does this connect with what we're listening to today on the news? You want to hear today. Because what's happening today is quite shaking. It really is. Or at least it ought to be quite shaking. And so today we take a look at what is actually happening today. And it starts with a rather fascinating, in fact, possibly mind-jerking announcement from Russia. A key Russian expert and advisor to President Vladimir Putin is calling for a nuclear escalation, citing the biblical documentation about how God rained fire on Sodom and Gomorrah. In other words, he's analogizing what happened back there in the book of Genesis, where God rained down fire on Sodom and Gomorrah and destroyed them absolutely, melted them out of existence in an instant. He's saying, maybe we need to see a reiteration of that because the world, and particularly the Western world, has lost its moral senses. Do you think there might be some truth in that? Do you think it's an overstatement there in Russia? Well, maybe it's an overstatement for the fact that to make such a statement is pretty dramatic. In fact, it's more than pretty dramatic. It's actually frightening. On the other hand, it was pretty frightening when God rained down fire on Sodom and Gomorrah, wasn't it? In fact, even Lot's wife turned back, even though she was not even the direct proximity of Sodom and Gomorrah. The effect of it was so great on her that when she turned around and looked back at Sodom and Gomorrah, she turned into a pillar of salt. So Jesus said in the book of Luke, concerning the end of the age, the end times, he said, remember Lot's wife. Remember Lot's wife. Who is he talking to? He's talking actually to professing Christians. He's actually talking to the Jewish people who claim to be the heirs according to the promise, the heirs of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, heirs according to the promise of God for the promised land. He was talking to them. And he said, remember Lot's wife. Well, there's something that we're called to remember. But apparently, a key Russian expert doesn't want us to forget Sodom and Gomorrah. He is the dean of the Faculty of World Economy and International Affairs. His startling demand for massive destruction is coming from Sergei Karaganov, a Russian political scientist who heads that nation's foreign and defense policy security institution. In other words, he's way up there in the power. He's considered a very close ally of Vladimir Putin. At a security forum, he insisted, quote, "We understand very well that moving up the ladder of nuclear escalation can save many lives because it can bring our adversaries to their senses." And he said, we need to move in that direction. He said, we need the move to cool down our adversaries. Well, who are the adversaries he's talking about? The Western world, Europe and America. In a video that was posted, he said, they have lost their minds. Now, you may think that Russia's lost its mind. You may think that Vladimir Putin's lost his mind. But they say, no, it's Europe and America. We've lost our minds. Then he brought God into his argument for cataclysm. Here's what he said. If we don't climb up the ladder of escalation, that is for nuclear power, more decisively, won't we anger even God Almighty? So now he's saying, look, if we don't up the ante with regard to nuclear power, nuclear escalation, to bring this Western world to its senses, won't we be angering God? If God would destroy Sodom and Gomorrah, wouldn't we be angering God if we wouldn't put ourselves in a position of somehow bringing the Western world to its senses? He went on to say, in the past, God Almighty has shown us the way. When he destroyed Sodom and Gomorrah by raining fire upon them for their disobedience and depravity. Catch the words disobedience and depravity. Those are the key words. That is why he's calling for nuclear escalation. Not for political power, but to somehow put the kibosh on disobedience and depravity in the Western world, from their perspective, is destroying the rest of the world. He said it was a lesson humanity learned one time. It was remembered for many years. But now humanity has forgotten Sodom and Gomorrah, so maybe we should remember that rain of fire and try once more to bring humanity to its senses. Wow. Do you think you might hear that on CNN? Do you think you might hear that on Fox News? I don't know. Not likely. But that's what happened. Have we forgotten Sodom and Gomorrah? Have we actually become more like Sodom and Gomorrah than we want to admit? Is the estimation of Vladimir Putin when about 7-8 years ago, he said that Russia had become the moral center of the world because of the depravity of America and the Western world? Was he right? Was there anything right about what he said? Is it hard for us to believe that someone like Vladimir Putin, no less, could make such an observation, and that those surrounding him could see things from a biblical view that we ourselves do not see? Is that possible? Is he speaking somewhat like a modern prophet? I'm not saying he is. I'm asking the question. Why is this coming out now? These are questions that we need to answer. Another article by Jeff Toller for the Shenandoah Christian Alliance wrote an article called Running to Gomorrah. He said, that's what we're doing. We're actually running to become like Sodom and Gomorrah in this country. He said, we have to consider the return of Christ. Are we actually considering that in this country? Or don't we give a hoot? We'll be back.
Once upon a time, children could pray and read their Bibles in school. Divorces were practically unknown, as was child abuse. In our once great America, virginity and chastity were popular virtues, and homosexuality was an abomination.
So what happened in just one generation?
Hi, I'm Chuck Chrismeyer, and I urge you to join me daily on Viewpoint, where we discuss the most challenging issues touching our hearts and homes. Could America's moral slide relate to the Fourth Commandment?
Listen to Viewpoint on this radio station or anytime at saveus.org.
Well, the Pope's gotten into the message. He addressed priests today. He said priests should keep their homilies, in other words, their sermons, short, and speak for a maximum of 8 minutes to prevent members of the congregation from nodding off. That's what Pope Francis said today. He said your message must be short, an image, a thought, a feeling, and shouldn't last more than 8 minutes. Because after that time, the people are lost and fall asleep. Wow. That's interesting, isn't it? So in other words, what he wants to do is turn the Roman Catholic Church and the various places where Roman Catholic people gather, he wants to turn them into a CNN soundbite. Don't have any session last more than 6 minutes because you'll lose the people. That's what news media has adopted. 6 minutes. Have you noticed that? Then you got to have a commercial. 6 minutes. That's it. If it goes as long as 8 or 10 minutes, you're in deep trouble. So apparently the Pope is concerned that the priests don't have enough to say that's of value and can capture the minds and hearts of the people for more than 8 minutes max. Maybe that's part of our problem. Maybe we've lost the ability to speak meaningfully to the people. Maybe if the priests were saying something more like what the security leader in Russia was saying, that we're becoming like Sodom and Gomorrah, maybe, just maybe, they might get the attention of the people. Although, if the people have wandered so far in their memory that they cannot remember Sodom and Gomorrah, and certainly would not be willing to remember Lot's wife, then maybe the priests don't have anything to say. Maybe it's just all lovey-dovey. Maybe it's all sweet nothings. Be nice, be happy. See you tomorrow. See you next week. You see, what happens in the pulpits of America, and we're not talking just about Roman Catholic pulpits. You can go to any number of pulpits across the country. The vast majority of them, they'll speak longer than 8 minutes. But the question is not whether they're speaking longer than 8 minutes. It's what are they saying or not saying during those minutes that they're speaking, whether it's 8 minutes, 20 minutes, a half hour, 45 minutes, or an hour. What are they saying and what are they not saying? How many times have I had a person here respond to this program and they'll say, you know, the pastors are doing this, the pastors are doing that, or they're not doing this. They say, their answer is always, but my pastor preaches the word. Well, how am I going to come against that? I'm not going to say that their pastor doesn't preach. I don't even know who their pastor is. But my pastor preaches the word. Well, I don't doubt that. But what part of the word doesn't he preach? See, that's the bigger problem. It's not just what a pastor preaches, it's what he doesn't preach and why he doesn't preach it. Because we're in a situation where the market now controls the master. The master doesn't control the market. The market controls the master, Jesus Christ. So his message is given short shrift because the market won't tolerate the fullness of his message. Only those parts that won't seem to offend the people. But when Jesus warned about Sodom and Gomorrah and warned about Lot's wife in the book of Luke concerning the end of the age, he said, as it was in the days of Noah, so it will be just before the second coming of the Son of Man. As it was in the days of Lot, so it will be just before the second coming of the Son of Man. Well, what was it like in the days of Lot? What was it like in the days of Noah? You see, that's what we need to be talking about. And we need to be very careful that when we talk about it, we don't try to pander to our audiences, to our congregations, as if somehow they wear the white hat and everybody else wears the black hat. So here's what happens. It happens invariably. On this program, we will make statements, as I did yesterday on the air in an interview concerning revival. I said, if we want revival, the pastors are going to have to begin to preach consistent messages that deal and point out the sin that is keeping us from pleasing God. They won't do it. They'll only point out those things that they think their congregation will put up with. So, what will they point out? In most evangelical congregations, they'll point about homosexuality. They'll point out about homosexual marriage, same-sex marriage, about transgenderism, about abortion. They'll talk about those things because they think the majority of the people in their congregation are not affected by that directly. So what is it they won't talk about? They won't talk about the divorce crisis that began in the late 1960s and spread like wildfire through the church. God says he hates divorce. He hates it. He doesn't just not like it. He hates it. He doesn't hate divorced people. He hates divorce. Why? Because it tears the whole fabric out of the gospel message. And people don't understand that. Because pastors won't teach or preach about it because they know that on any given Sunday or Saturday, when they're ministering to the people, at least half of them in that congregation are either divorced or preparing to be divorced or have a close friend who is. So they won't talk about it. They fear the people more than they fear God. And so it's led us to a situation, friends, where maybe, just maybe, we should listen to what the Russian expert advisor to Vladimir Putin is saying. Hey, maybe we need a nuclear escalation to bring some sense to the Western world, Europe and America, because they have become so depraved and so disobedient to God. Can you believe this coming from Russia? No, I'm not here to exalt Russia. Not at all. I mean, the same Vladimir Putin is the one that manages to eradicate his political enemies, just like Joe Biden has through his lawfare and his Department of Injustice. How can we say, how can we think we wear the white hat, friends? How is that? This is the reason why we have no revival in this country after 50 years of crying out to God for it. And I've been in the midst of almost all of the major prayer gatherings in this country where the leaders of this country have gathered together, that is the spiritual leaders. But they don't get it. They don't want to get it. When Nancy Leigh DeMoss, now known as Nancy Wolgemuth, spoke as the keynote speaker at Fasting and Prayer 96 in St. Louis, she said, if we have any hope in this country of seeing revival, it has to begin in God's house, begin at my sanctuary. That's what God said through the prophet Ezekiel. It has to begin in my house, not in the White House, not in the schoolhouse, not in the courthouse, not in any other house, in God's house. Why is that? Because that's God's warmest audience. And if there's any hope for revival, they're the ones that have to be revived. You, me, those of us who call ourselves by the name of the Lord, but have drifted so far that even Russia now has to look at us and become God's voice, almost in a prophetic way, to warn us about our depravity and our disobedience. You might say, well, he's not warning the church, he's warning the nation. Well, how do you think the nation got to the point where it is? Let me give you a clue. One of many. The United Methodist Church Council of Bishops has issued a response today to one of the largest exoduses from the denomination in its history. More than 1 million members of the Cote d'Ivoire Conference in West Africa voted last month to leave the United Methodist Church after the UMC voted to allow the ordaining of LGBT clergy and blessing of same-sex unions. Here's what they said. This African branch stated that the United Methodist Church had distanced itself from the Holy Scriptures and was no longer suitable for their conference. They added that the UMC prefers to sacrifice its honor and integrity to honor the LGBTQ community. In other words, they're people pleasers, culture pleasers, not God pleasers. The UMC lifted a nearly 40-year-old ban on ordaining gay or homosexual clergy in May. The move came on the heels of a massive departure from U.S.-based churches that no longer wanted to be part of the increasingly liberal denomination. Liberal meaning not God-obeying, basing its new theology on depravity, what God calls abomination, and that which he hates. In the U.S. alone, the United Methodist Church lost 7,660 congregations, or about 25% of the group's churches, just in the last 5 years. Why? Embracing what God says is an abomination. So, obviously, they don't believe God. Obviously, they don't believe God. What do they believe? Well, they're creating a God in their own image. That's exactly what Time magazine saw back in 1993, April 5th, 1993. On the front cover was a cross. In the lower right-hand corner were these words, the generation that forgot God. Talking about America, the generation that forgot God. That was not the generation that was going to forget God. That was the generation that already did forget God. That was the very year that we formed Save America Ministries in response to God's call the year before to leave the practice of law at the height of our career and to plead his cause in the land as a voice first to the church, declaring vision for the nation in America's greatest crisis hour. So people say, well, why would you preach to the choir? Because that's where the message of the Bible is. The number one message of the Bible is not to the pagans. It is to the church or to Israel, claiming to be the heirs of salvation, claiming to be the heirs of promise through Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. The prophets were always called to speak to them to correct their ways. The pagans were pagans already. The same is true in America. The same is true in Europe. God's message is to his warmest audience to repent. Then if the church will repent and become the people of God once again in purity and in righteousness and in holiness, then they will have a platform of righteousness upon which they can now speak with integrity to the unbelieving world. But we don't have that now. As you will see as we move on with the program today with the latest revelation. The United Methodist Church. Wow. The Methodist Church was formed by John Wesley out of England. Red hot worship of God. John and Charles Wesley wrote so many of the hymns that have been honoring and worshipful for the church for the last 250 years. And here the United Methodist Church has desecrated, absolutely desecrated as an open, notorious abomination, that which God has ordained. Wow. Where do you stand on that? We'll be right back.
There is so much more about Chuck Chrismeyer and Save America Ministries
on our website, saveus.org. For example, under the marriage section, God has marriage on his mind. Chuck has some great resources to strengthen your marriage. First off, a fact sheet on the state of the marital union, a fact sheet on the state of ministry, marriage, and morals. SaveUS.org. Marriage, divorce, and remarriage. What does the Bible really teach about this? Find all of this at SaveUS.org. Also, a letter to pastors, the Hosea Project, SaveUS.org, and many more resources to strengthen your marriage. It's all on Chuck's website, SaveUS.org. Again, you can listen to Chuck's Viewpoint broadcast live and archived. Save America Ministries website at SaveUS.org.
Are we running towards Sodom and Gomorrah? Have we become Sodom and Gomorrah? It must have been 15, 20 years ago when Ruth Graham, the wife of Dr. Billy Graham, said that if God didn't judge America, he'd have to apologize to Sodom and Gomorrah. Well, she had no idea at that time how wicked we would become. How even the United Methodist Church, one of the largest denominations in the country and in the world, would apostatize openly, boldly, and egregiously against the God who made and preserved us a nation, the God of salvation, the God of creation, and would decide to create a God in their own image. But that's exactly what Time magazine said would happen and was happening in 1993, 30 years ago, 31 years ago now, when we formed Save America Ministries. As a voice to the church declaring vision for the nation, the voice had to be first to the church, because the church is God's warmest audience. That's the central heating system of the country. And the country's central heating system is terribly broken down, and there are not sufficient spiritual engineers out there to fix it. Besides which, we don't even recognize how badly the system is. We want to keep pretending. Well, we're America. It couldn't possibly happen here. It can't possibly be that bad here. And so we try to compare ourselves. We compare ourselves to Russia, and yet Russia has outlawed the practice of homosexuality. In Africa, the nations have outlawed the practice of homosexuality. Yet our presidents, leading by Barack Obama, went to Africa to try to coerce them, in fact, to bribe them with U.S. money to adopt policies and spiritual rebellion against God, and they refused. In the face of a black president, they said, Mr. Obama, we are not going to do that. Joe Biden has tried to do the same thing. Does this not say something to you, my friends? A whole political party in this country has dedicated itself to that agenda. Has dedicated itself to dare God to judge our country like Sodom and Gomorrah. Notice how we're not soft peddling this to try to make people feel good. We're not saying, well, you know what? I know that there are some pastors that are preaching the message and so on. No. Do you know that that's not how God wrote the Bible? Please listen very carefully to what I'm about to say. Every time we have someone on the air, guest with us, who's trying to promote a message, they always try to backpedal when you talk about, well, pastors are doing this, and this is what's happening in our churches, and this is what the statistics are saying, and they'll always respond with, but there are a lot of pastors who are doing this, that, or the other. They don't know all those pastors. Why do they say that? because they're trying to give excuses to people not to respond to the message. That's why. Do you know that the Bible takes just the opposite approach? There's not one place in the Bible that I can think of where God says something like this. Now, there are many people among you who are not dealing righteously. He doesn't say that. He says, my people are destroyed for lack of knowledge. My people are not walking righteously. He doesn't make excuses and gives no room for anybody to make excuses. Jesus didn't make excuses either. Why do we do that? Because we're trying to be nice. And in our efforts to be nice, we're actually undermining the very message that we're claiming to support. Well, yes, I believe that, but. Yes, I affirm that message, but. God allowed no buts. He already knew we had big buts. He already knew that. He said, I'm not going to give you any more buts. I'm going to tell you what the truth is. If the shoe doesn't fit, then don't put it on. But I'm not going to give you excuses and reasons to reason in your mind why the shoe doesn't fit. What I want you to do is consider why the shoe does fit and then respond accordingly. Now, let's take a look at what's happened today. This day, from the buckle of the Bible Belt, Dallas, Texas, a major pastor and revered pastor in America has stepped down from his leadership in his church, supposedly having 11,000 members. You say, well, anybody can fall. Well, that's true. You say, well, all have sinned. That's true. So what are we supposed to do when we do sin? We're supposed to confess our sin. And if we do that with honesty and truth and timeliness, God will forgive our sin and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. But what if we wait for 30, 40 years before we do it? What if we wait until somehow we got caught in our tracks? What if we wait until somehow somebody discovers what we did 20, 30, 40 years ago, and all of a sudden we decide to come clean and make a confession? That's what happened with Pastor Tony Evans. The leader of the 11,000-member Oak Cliff Bible Fellowship stepped away from his pastoral duties, as he said, for a season of restoration due to sin. He announced that in both services last Sunday. He announced that he would step away from his senior pastoral duties at the Oak Cliff Bible Fellowship. He said it was a difficult decision made after tremendous prayer and multiple meetings with the church elders. The board stated that it's obligated to govern the church in accordance with the scriptures. But this all happened decades ago. Dr. Evans and the elders agree that when any elder or pastor falls short of the high standards of Scripture, the elders are responsible for providing accountability and maintaining integrity in the church. I agree with that. They said, we serve a God that is merciful to forgive and gracious to restore. Okay, so what does that mean? Does that mean restore to the same positions of leadership? That's what they think. Why do they think that? Because how can we do away with a pastor of 48 years of a congregation that has 11,000 members? Now, specific details of the so-called sin were not specified. He and Dr. Evans confessed in a written statement that though he did not commit any crimes, he fell short of the biblical standards espoused by his ministry, suggesting it was due to sin. Well, that's always what it's due to. He said the foundation of our ministry has always been our commitment to the Word of God as the absolute supreme standard of truth to which we are to conform our lives. And when we fall short of that standard due to sin, we're required to repent and restore our relationship with God, Evans stated. That's true. So he says, a number of years ago, I fell short of that standard. I'm therefore required to apply the same biblical standard of repentance and restoration to myself that I've applied to others. And I've shared this with my wife, my children, and our church elders, and they have lovingly placed their arms of grace around me. Wait a minute. Arms of grace? Grace is God's favor, unmerited favor, to enable us to obey his voice, to do his will, not to comfort us in our sin. Mercy is what Dr. Evans needs from the Father. Mercy because of confession of sin. And friends, if we will not confess our sin openly, without excuse, with no buts, ands, or buts, then we're not entitled to mercy. God's mercy, the Bible says, is extended only to those who fear him. It's true. That's what the Bible says. His mercy is extended only to those who fear him. That's why the fear of the Lord is so, must be restored in God's own house, from pulpit to pew. And it's not being. Although there is, in the last, year and a half, there are some indications now that there's a recognition, including our guest yesterday, who made the statement, we've got to restore the fear of the Lord in the church. It's true. But what does it mean? What does that mean? Does it just mean respect, or does it mean he's God and I'm not? And if I don't get a hold of myself, and if I don't begin to walk in his word and will and ways, I am likely to end up in a place called perdition. We'll be back.
Have you ever considered what the early church was like? Many people are developing a heart longing for greater fulfillment in our practices as Christians. A recent study showed 53,000 people a week are leaving the back door of America's churches in frustration. What is going on? Why has there not been even a 1% gain among followers of Christ in the last 25 years? Could it be that God is seeking to restore first century Christianity for the 21st century? Jesus said, I'll build my church. Is Christ by his Spirit stirring to prepare the church for the 21st century? The early church prayed together and broke bread from house to house. They were family, and it was said by all who observed, behold how they love one another. Incredible.
But the same can be found right now. Go to saveus.org and click Sell Church. We can revive first century Christianity for the 21st century.
It's about people, not programs. It's about a body, not a building.
That's saveus.org. Click Sell Church.
In reality, my friends, I feel Tony's pain. Dr. Tony Evans' pain in having to come before his congregation. You say, well, that takes tremendous humility. Well, maybe. But maybe he was put in a place where he was basically compelled to do this. And I suspect that that's the case. It's not because he suddenly came under conviction of what happened years ago and decided to come clean before God and the congregation. No, something came up that set the stage for the revelation of that which he thought was hidden. Now, here's the problem that we need to understand. Jesus said, there is nothing that takes place that will ultimately be hidden. You realize Jesus said that, don't you? He did. Which means that ultimately we got to realize that God is always watching. It's like the song that we used to sing when we were kids. Watch your eyes, what they see. Watch your eyes, what they see. Because there's a Father up above looking down in tender love. So watch your eyes, what they see. Watch your ears, what they hear. Watch your feet, where they go, and so on. Watch your mind, what it thinks. Yeah. That message was driven in years ago. We don't teach our children that anymore. Not really. We don't teach adults that anymore. It's all about the love of God, but not the justice and judgment of God, and not the fact that he is truly an awesome God to be feared above all gods, the Bible says. He is to be feared above all gods. Now, it's interesting that this announcement came just months after Dr. Tony Evans got remarried in December of 2023 in a private ceremony 4 years after the death of his first wife. So he didn't get remarried. He didn't get divorced. He didn't get remarried. But something happened. And it has stunned the Christian community, and rightly so. Because a congregation like this, where Dr. Tony Evans, through his urban alternative radio broadcast, aired in 1,400 stations around the world, this has impact everywhere. Not just in this country, not just in Dallas, Texas, but all over the world. At 74 years of age, he confessed in a written statement that though he did not commit any crimes, he fell short of the biblical standards espoused by his ministry a number of years ago, suggesting it was due to sin. So what is it that brought this about? There are those, the Christian Post is saying, this confession is sparking questions and prayers all over the country and around the world. Dr. Tony Evans said, I'm stepping away from my pastoral duties and am submitting to a healing and restoration process. A healing and restoration process? He's been involved in understanding this whole situation for many, many years. What is required for healing and restoration? Stepping aside for a month or two or a year from the past, from the pulpit? One gentleman, the Armstrong Chair of Religion and Chair of the Department of Biblical and Religious Studies at Samford University in Alabama, is disappointed with his statement and believes the decision to confess is probably forced. He said this is very disappointing. If it took place years ago, is he temporarily stepping back now because he was just recently exposed? In any case, he covered it up for years. And he's supposed to be ready for healing and restoration? Give me a break, he said. When they euphemize in every possible way without naming sin, The name, the kind of sin, it's usually some form of sexual immorality. And if you're truly repentant over your sin, you'll confess it, not finesse it, said a Christian blogger. She said, I hate that this has happened, but he was already not someone to follow. He's offered over 100 books and Bible studies. One of the most respected leaders in evangelical circles. And now his radio broadcast airs in 130 countries via more than 1,400 radio outlets, and he's going to continue that. He's not stepping away from that. He's going to continue it. He once served as the chaplain of the Dallas Cowboys, listed as a member of the board of the Dallas Theological Seminary. Are you beginning to see the echoing consequences? It's like dropping a massive boulder in the ocean and watching the massive ripples go out across the world. And as the one observer said, almost invariably when this kind of thing comes out, it's a sexual sin. In other words, what we're really talking about is Sodom and Gomorrah in the church, even among pastoral leaders. Now, I'm not here to condemn Tony Evans. I think Tony Evans has been a fine person. I really do. I've never downplayed him. At one point, he appeared on this program. But friends, we've got to be honest. If we're going to have revival in the church, maybe it's got to start in the pulpits. Maybe it's going to start with massive confession, not just some, well, years ago I was involved in something that didn't please God. Maybe we've got to come clean. This is tough talk, friends. This is where revival is. Revival doesn't consist of non-negotiable God bless yous and gospel backslapping, saying, I love you, God loves you, and let's all get along and have a happy time as we're on the skids to Sodom and Gomorrah. No, it's serious stuff. Was the Russian expert right when he called for a nuclear escalation, perhaps citing the biblical documentation of how God rained fire on Sodom and Gomorrah? Maybe that's going to be necessary to get the world's attention, specifically the Western world, Europe, and America that profess to be Christian Europe and Christian America? You've got to be kidding me. What a joke. We're not fooling God. Apparently, we're not fooling Russia either. It's pretty breathtaking, isn't it? When you think about it, you may be thinking, well, there's no mercy and no grace in your message. Oh, yes, it's all mercy. You aren't entitled to mercy without confession and owning up to the specifics of sin. The fear of the Lord is the foundation for mercy and grace. Grace is not God's willingness to overlook and wink at our sin. Mercy is what we need when we confess our sin. Do you really think that if a criminal who absolutely committed murder stands before the court after conviction and refuses to admit his sin, do you think he can expect the court to extend mercy to him? You got to be kidding me. God is the ultimate judge, my friends. He's going to The scripture says that Jesus is going to be the ultimate judge, and he's going to judge the world in righteousness. That's his standard. Righteousness is the habitation of his throne. Should we pray for Dr. Tony Evans? Absolutely. Should we lament? Yes. But when we do lament, we should ask the Lord to inspect our own heart. That's what David did after his sin. He confessed his sin openly. He didn't try to hide it. He spoke about it openly. And he says, "Search me, O God, and know my heart. Try me and see if there be any wicked way in me, and lead me the way everlasting. Restore unto me the joy of thy salvation, and renew a right spirit within me. Cast me not away from your presence, Lord. Take not your spirit from me." That's the attitude of revival. Do we really want that? Really? Is it just an emotional want, or is it a real spiritual want deep in our hearts? That's what we need. As the song used to say, "Mercy drops round us are falling, but for the showers we plead." We don't need just showers of blessing. We need showers of repentance, and the mercy of God would fall. We would see a dramatic change in God's house, and it would reverberate throughout the country and the world. But until then, it'll be business as usual. Until judgment falls. Get a copy of my book, Seduction of the Saints, How to Stay Pure in a World of Deception. Seduction of the Saints, How to Stay Pure in a World of Deception. It's an $18 book, yours for $15. It will strengthen you for times like these, help you to avoid getting into situations like this in so many different areas. The seducer is out there working triple time to take us up, friends, to destroy us. Whether it's Tony Evans or whether it's you and me, wherever we happen to be. Seduction of the Saints, How to Stay Pure in a World of Deception. $15 on our website, saveus.org, saveus.org. Give us a call, 1-800-SAVE-USA, 1-800-SAVE-USA, or write to us at Save America Ministries. P.O. Box 70879, Richmond, Virginia, 23255. Writing a check at $5 for postage and handling. I think you will find it to be a life-changing book. That's what we need, don't we? We just don't need a bunch of sermons of God bless yous and happy holy time. No, God calls us to be holy. Be ye therefore holy, for I am holy. And without holiness, no man will see the Lord. Do we really believe these things? Or are they just theories? Religious theories that we give lip service to, but refuse to conform our lives to. If Jesus is coming soon, don't you think we should take these matters seriously? Not just for them, but in our own house? Thanks for joining us, friends. It's a bit sobering, I know. Let's come in humility before the Lord. God bless and be a blessing.
You've been listening to Viewpoint with Chuck Chrismeyer. Viewpoint is supported by the faithful gifts of our listeners. Let me urge you to become a partner with Chuck as a voice to the church declaring vision for the nation. Join us again next time on Viewpoint as we confront the issues of America's heart and home.